The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There's something frightfully chilling going on in Otley Town. Book yourself onto the Otley Ghost Tour and embrace the miserable history of Otley in Leeds. A seemingly quiet, quaint, historic market town settled neath the looming gates of the ancient Chevin. Learn about the small town eccentrics who once upon a time hobbled over the cobbles, and find out about the phantom characters who still persist today. Your ghoulish guides will regale you with tales of bygone days, and you will finish the evening with an optional free drink in one of Otley's most haunted brew houses. Dear listeners, if you fancy yourself a deliciously dark evening in Otley, I'll let you into a little secret. I have formed a deal with the ghost leader, Spindleshanks McScrew, and you will receive a free gift if you repeat this quote prior to your tour. Ooly booly, let's get ghouly. Have a grisly good time, witches. Beautiful, bright lilies. When they saw us in the twilight, the menfolk grew suspicious. We were bright lilies in the night. Rhyme would tell us how to mend and fix some, amend their bitterness and spite. Those who came, always so trusting, eager to pay us in coins and cattle. We were poor on land, but rich in spirit. However, that became our battle. Menfolk grew resentful, and then they blamed us wrong. For those times in trouble and strife, they tortured our bodies and doubted our voices. They sacrificed their daughters and wives. Fire once a friend, but now a monster. As it master commands, burn us raw. Women and midwives out for the slaughter. Fear and devastation we saw. The lilies, once bright, now faded to darkness, kicked and burnt to death. Too frightened to be us, so we hid in the woods, and that's where we took our last breath. Years will pass, the landscape will change. Man-made toxicity, the earth will purge. Beautiful bright lilies will grow once again. From the flames of history, we will emerge. Witches and beautiful souls, ayup, I'm back. Witching in the 21st century. I've had a really lovely little time off working on other projects and having a lovely summer. I really missed podcasting, and I'm so glad to be back for this amazing episode, which is number 38. Although there is a lot more. It is really number 50, but because I have lots of bonuses, it's currently standing at number 38. And the topic for this episode is witchcraft dangerous? It is massive, but I've tried my best. Add a disclaimer though, I am no historian, I'm not at all academically trained. I've done lots of research, and this is like my understanding of the subject from a modern witch's perspective of my own. But I learned a lot about history, and I also learned a little bit about dangers of witching today as well, and I think the two together made for very interesting listening. Before we dive in, I'm just going to do a little bit of podcast palling, because I feel like it's been such a long time. It's Podcast Pals! Big shout out to the West London witch, Rebecca Strazina. She has been taking some time out from regular podcasting like me and has been doing a fantastic summer reading program over on her Patreon, and I have been absolutely glued to it all summer. The book in question that Rebecca's been reading is Michelle Remembers, written in the 70s about like demonic witching. It is so good. I'm really enjoying it and actively waiting for them to get uploaded because I want to know what's going to happen in the next chapter. Their Patreon is awesome. I really, really do recommend The West London Witch. I have a second at Podcast Pal, and this is a bit cheesy, but this is the big, exciting announcement. Are you ready? A brand spanking new podcast called The Adventures of Lily Thistle and Her Flower Dragon. My little girl Florence has been wanting to podcast for quite some time. We recorded early summer, May time, and I've been editing it throughout July and August. It took quite a long time because she reeled off a story which was fantastic. And I have edited it and put a little bit of context in it and a little bit of sound effects and stuff. And it is such a fun, joyous listen. It's a podcast made by a kid for other kids. A bedtime story podcast, completely fictional. And it is created and made lovingly by an 8-year-old and her mum. Anybody looking for a bedtime story, you know, for like the new school year routine and stuff. This podcast is for you. And we've listened to it a few times and it is so funny. I have uploaded a bonus episode where I've squished the first 4 episodes into one on the Bellwitch podcast's feed, but the link for Florence's actual independent podcast will be in the show notes below, because I'd like you to go over and listen to all her episodes, and then she can get her own little ratings and her own little numbers. It'll be fantastic for her. It was such fun, and I'm really happy that she enjoyed the process and gets just how podcasting is really good for your mental health. It's just amazing. I love it. And now a little favour to ask from you, listener. I'm struggling a bit with the old reviews online. Not so much Spotify, definitely Apple Podcasts. I have no reviews. It's really hard to get them. I don't know why this is, because at the moment I'm getting more downloads on Apple Podcasts than I am on Spotify. So if you are listening to Apple Podcasts and you're enjoying the Bellwitch podcast, please, please can you leave me a review just to help me get found and stay in the charts and all that magic. It really does help me out so much, you can't imagine. In other news, I managed to pin down the cult mother, Hannah Graves, at last. I've been hoping to pin her down for quite some time, and she's such a busy witch. We had a fantastic Mootloo interview about witch businesses and capitalism and the patriarchy and all kinds of really deep, meaty stuff. So that'll be coming out around Samhain Halloween time as a bit of a special, because it was so good, witches, it was so good. Right, without further ado, I shall hit play on the main body of this episode. Do enjoy and let me know your ideas, thoughts and feelings on this subject via the commenting button on Spotify, which is a brand new thing I've just noticed can be done now, so that's a bit posh. All right then, here we go. So I've had a bit of time off and I wanted to come back loud and proud. I wanted to do quite a large topic with a bit of a bite, really. And I asked AI, what is the most Googled question about witchcraft? And can you believe the most Googled question about witchcraft is witchcraft dangerous? Dangerous and, of course, demonic. Is witchcraft demonic? Boo! Now, this made me feel all kinds of feelings. Straight away, I wanted to stick up for witchcraft and go, no, it's so positive. It has changed my life. It has made me so much happier in my life. It's a huge positive, definitely not dangerous. That thought was just so alien to me and really uncomfortable. But I wasn't going to run away from it. I was going to work with it. Took me a bit of a moment or two to unpack all the feelings and all the defensiveness of my own witchcraft practices and how much I just wanted to stick up for it. But then I remember at least two really big occasions in my life when I've been out and people have come up to me and inquired about my pentacle that I always wear, that I will not be without. They have come up to me and demand that I tell them about my belief and my religion and my witchcraft and prove it. And then they start telling me, oh, you belong to the devil. And that's happened to me twice in Yorkshire, once in Leeds and once in Sheffield. Oh, I was so offended. It offends me so much, I tell you. And then even at Witchfest down in London, there's always an army outside the doors protesting and upsetting Witchfest guests, accusing them of devil worshipping. So I guess even in the 21st century, it's still massively, massively misunderstood. What is this thing with devil worship? And the question, is witchcraft dangerous? And so I opened up this can of worms, which is the featuring theme of this episode. Really, really big subject to cover. I'm going to try my best here. Do bear with me, it's taken me a lot of work to get my head around it. And I am definitely not a historian or a scientist or anybody academic at all. I'm just very interested. But it seems a very good time though. I've been listening to the West London Witches reading programme for summer, Michelle Remembers, which is an infamous book that was written in the 70s from a doctor's perspective as he listened to his patient recall memories from her childhood, sort of 5, 6, 7-ish. And it is all about her being trapped within a witchy, demonic cult. You know, it's very Satan-y and everything about it is just so fantastical. And the more you listen to it, the more made up it gets. But it's actually really, really dark. The last chapter I listened to has turned Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. You know, so satanic panic of the 70s. Finding it amazing and she's still reading it. But I just thought, oh, what good timing, you know, because that kind of ties in a little bit with the subject I'm thinking about right now. I mean, you can't get hold of that book anymore. I think it got banned because it was just such nonsense and really quite damaging to witchcraft and even Satanism. You know, the guy who runs the satanic church, he was well annoyed because he got accused of all this stuff, and I don't even think the satanic church was a thing when it was being written or when she were remembering. So it caused a massive stir, and the more it went on, the less people believed it, and yeah, it got taken off the shelves. Quite a cool little fact for you about the satanic panic of the 70s from Rebecca. Apparently it became quite the in trend to get therapy on the insurance, and a few people did this, and then it grew in popularity, and the insurance company was spending loads on this bananas therapy sessions all around satanic panic, and they pulled the plug basically on paying for therapy, and that was the coffin nail in satanic panic. That's why it stopped, because the insurance company wouldn't pay out for any more therapy about it all. So that's quite a cool little pub fact. So, when Googling the question, is witchcraft dangerous? I found this Parliament webpage about witchcraft, which is quite interesting. www.parliament.uk. I will link it in the show notes. It reads, witchcraft, a perceived facility to summon evil spirits and demons to harm others, was linked to religion in the extent that the medieval church had powers to punish those who dabbled in magic and sorcery. Its priests were able to exorcise those who had become possessed by evil spirits. During the 16th century, many people believed that witchcraft, rather than working for God's will, offered a more convincing explanation of sudden and unexpected ill fortunes, such as death of a child, bad harvest, or the death of cattle. Witch hunting became an obsession in some part of this country. In 1542, Parliament passed the Witchcraft Act, which defined witchcraft as a crime punishable by death. It was repealed 5 years later, but was later restored by a new act in 1562. A further law was passed in 1604 during the reign of James I, who took a keen interest in demonology and even published a book on it. Another book, like we need another book. You know, there was already the Hammer of Witches that had been written almost 100 years before James I's book. I mean, it was a flop, and I think the author got kind of laughed at. But the King's book brought attention back to the original book, and it became popular again. I'm trying to remember where I heard this. I think it were on that Sir Anne Jones documentary a few months ago about the witch trials. So them two books combined, one having quite a big authority because it was written by the king, made things so much more dangerous for people who didn't identify as witches but were called witches, labelled witches, just because they understood and practised common magic and had an understanding of herbs and formulas and potions and stuff like that. And lots of people had this knowledge because it's been around for centuries before them and is passed down throughout their own family. The 1562 and 1604 Acts transferred the trial of witches from the church to the ordinary courts. To me, that says they started something massive and then they couldn't be out of it anymore, so they passed it to the regular courts because it was taking too much money and time. But that's just me speculating. And they were popular because everybody loved a witch hunt and it was kind of like entertainment. People were invited in to watch other people being called a witch and being sentenced to death. It was like a nice Sunday afternoon out, proper grim. Those formal accusations against witches who were usually poor elderly women reached a peak in the 16th century, particularly in southeast England. I wonder why they were getting targeted. Old, poor women who society deems not as valuable as young, pretty maidens. Scarily enough, I ask the question, does some of this still kind of ring true in terms of society's value on older women in like the crone aspect of their life? Us Wales don't get sidetracked. A little FYI here. A couple of years ago, we did a very good crone-related episode early on in the podcast. So do check that out because we do discuss the element of ageing in today's society. Okay, back to the research. 513 witches were put on trial there between 1560 and 1700, though only 112 were executed. The last known execution took place in Devon in 1685. The last trials were held in Leicestershire in 1717. Overall, some 500 people in England are believed to have been executed for witchcraft. In 1736, Parliament passed the Act of Repealing the Laws Against Witchcraft, but imposing fines or imprisonment on people who claimed to be able to do magic powers and witchcraft. When it was introduced to the Commons, the bill became a much laughed act amongst the MPs. However, its promoter was John Conduit, whose wife was a niece of Sir Isaac Newton, a father of modern science, although keenly interested in the occult. So it's not what you know, it's who you know. Being a man for a start, who was taken seriously and had authority in the world of science. His connection to that dude, Conduit, made a big difference. The Act was repealed in 1951 by the Fraudulent Mediums Act, which in turn was repealed in 2008. 2008? And I hope I'm saying that word right. Repealed, is it? I think that's right. I'm so dyslexic. So why do people, even today, still worry that witchcraft is dangerous and are a little bit scared of it? Well, of course, witchcraft has a long, complex history that's been around for a right time, way before the Middle Ages. What we would call old wives' tales, your mum telling you to do this and you'll get good luck. Tiny little things. And people did it commonplace, like mentioned previously. It was normal. Everybody knew it. They got taught from their parents and their parents and their parents. It was just passed down and it were not a biggie. I learned from that seed talk about witchcraft and feminism recently. It was so good. And it was feminism, like old feminism from the Middle Ages and before. And I've never really listened or even thought about feminism in that context before. Anything about feminism, it is all being contemporary stuff. So it was absolutely wild. It was so good. But the speaker who was giving the presentation, Dr. Jennifer Farrell, she was saying that at this time in history, there was two main types of magic. Higher magic, which was very academic, behind closed doors, under lock and key at universities and within church societies, and was very patriarchal. You had to earn your place, and it were all dudes. There were no women. Women were kept strictly out of it. Proper secret, top secret stuff. And I think it was heavily gatekept because it was taken really, really seriously and not considered witchcraft, weirdly enough. I think it was something else. I mean, it's an entire different topic, but it is really interesting because it's the first time I've been made aware of this higher magic club in the medieval history. Mirror of that was common magic, which is everybody had access to it and it was really normal. There was three types of commonplace witchcraft during this time, which was love magic, healing magic and divination. And it'd be normal to go to somebody who was a cunning woman, you know, to ask for a bit of divination about, is my crop going to survive? And they'd probably like gut a sheep and look into the spleen or the stomach and see messages. Early divination techniques. If somebody scorned a woman by cheating on her, this witch wasn't called a witch at the time, but would kill a cockerel and cut its balls off and smear the balls of the cockerel on the bed, which they were going to, you know, get jiggy in. And that would obviously cause a lot of bother. And, you know, they believed that would work. And obviously it does work because who wants to get jiggy when there's a load of like gory blood going on, you know? So indeed the magic was powerful and strong. And it was just taken for granted how it worked. It was just nature, I guess. A nice little spot of sympathetic magic for you there. It's the symbolism of removing the scrotum, the balls from the cockerel to stop it doing what it's doing. Sympathetic magic is about action and representation for an outcome. I do quite love it. Ooh, is that a podcast episode? Like different types of sympathetic magic and other types of magic there is. I bet there's loads of stuff to talk about for a podcast episode. Quick, write that down. And there was a lot of ritual as well. Like rituals made beliefs tangible. They made them real. By doing something together, there was a feeling of connection and a feeling of power and creating something from nothing. So them two aspects of common magic was real and really present at that time in history. That was their evidence that this magic was working. I feel like it was respected, and it people weren't scared of it. It was just like a service that they could get and pay somebody decently for it and not be worried about karma and stuff. I mean, a lot of that is my understanding between the lines speculating, but I'd like to think that's how it was. And the church didn't take it seriously. They just thought it was make-believe, mumbo-jumbo, you know, it's not real, we don't believe it. And only really did it be considered harmful was, of course, in the 15th century, when this dude had a beef with a woman who was married and happy on her own little way. He wanted in and she was just like, nay, access denied. And he wrote this bloody book to hammer all the witches. So that is when, from my research, it seems witchcraft began being associated with dangerous and harmful activities. This is massively brief history here. This negative perception is obviously traced back to the patriarchal history of the Burning Times, in a period in the early modern era when thousands of people, mostly women, were accused of practicing witchcraft and subsequently executed. And this number was massive. I mean, it was 50,000 people between the 15th and the 18th centuries. They were mostly women. I think it was 80% was women across Europe. They were accused of all kinds of stupid stuff, accused of devil worship, because that's what the churches knew. They had their good and their evil. They just like pressed it on to their understanding of what these women, mostly women, were doing.
It must be true because I read it in the book.
They were just obsessed. There were lots of unease at the time. There were this thing called the mini ice age where loads of stuff were going wrong. Crops were failing. People were getting ill. There was disease. There was random medical stuff that nobody knew anything about. People keeling over and not really knowing why. So everybody got on the bandwagon and started accusing women of witchcraft, because at the time they needed somebody to blame, and it made sense to them because of their understanding of the world and how spiritualism was taught to them, how religion was taught to them. And also at the time the press was being developed and people were creating things to read, such as damaging books about hammering witches. It really was the perfect storm to create the Burning Times. It just flabbergasts me so much. Stuff got shared. I mean, think about how we are like with the internet right now. We know so much more because of the internet, and that's a worldly press. So this press was countrywide press. So ideas spread really fast, and people essentially got brainwashed into thinking certain things, like biases and propaganda was born. I completely understand just how massive it was at the time. Can you imagine living in that era of history? Only person who give you news is probably that dude that comes out with bells, you know, and sings news to you. And then there's these newspapers turning up that have been professionally printed. Can you imagine it? It must have been amazing. And because before all this Burning Time started, you know, it was commonplace magic which sorted stuff out, and that worked against them in that respect. It were now starting to be taken seriously, whereas before it wasn't. Not by the churches anyway, and it definitely wasn't serious enough to be considered dangerous until these books. And that is reflected in my poem that I read at the beginning. And the 1620s was the most intense phase of persecution in Germany and Europe, where almost 300 witches were executed between 1617 and 1631. Hardly any of these people would have been the kind of people they were thinking of. Hardly anybody would have actually been that witch. The knowledge, the commonplace magic and rituals and old wives' tales that they believed in, that they were brought up with, made them classed as a witch in the eyes of the church. Women who knew how to do stuff, who were really well equipped in their own little social groups with other women who shared stories and helpful information between themselves. They kept each other well, and they midwived each other's pregnancies and helped each other give birth, fixed problems together in order to live a fulfilling life that wasn't the patriarchal stance of you stay at home, you look after your kids. You know, you're only good for having children, and we do all the gatherer hunting and making the money, and you stay at home and make me tea. An absolutely massive movement in this time in history. And that's where the devil stuff always comes from. These accusations were often based on the superstitions and the myths, and now they're using it because, you know, apparently they've just started taking it seriously and started to believe. Like, they believe that witches could control the weather and cause illness and harm crops. And it just led to widespread fear and paranoia, resulting in the persecution and execution of loads of people who were totally innocent, who weren't witches, who were just women, who spoke to other women. Even when I did the Magic of the Sea episode, there were loads and loads of stigma around women and how they were bad luck to go on the ship. And then that starts the whole horrible subject of the witch wound, as we call it today, you know, like women dobbing other women in it to save their own skin because they were forced into a corner. Oh, it makes me so cross, I tell you. I particularly struggle with the historical topic from the perspective of we are the granddaughters of the witches you tried to burn, because it seems really romanticised and empowering, and also, I hate to say it, but a little bit like merch-y. These people who were murdered, 9 out of 10 of them were definitely not witches. It's just such a huge realisation how many people actually died over complete and utter nonsense. Because patriarchy, control and capitalism, basically. And then I just end up scratching my head because people are still frightened of witchcraft and devil worshipping and all that crap because of that history. There is no devil in the craft. But yet history conveniently forgets about these people, the witch hunters of the time, who burn innocent people at the stake or hung them based on stupid evidence in court that were just made up, forced out of people because they were getting tortured and would say anything. Anyway, I might have to stop it right there because, as you can hear, I'm getting a bit charged. It's changing though. People know how it was. I think we're all getting educated, you know, like that seed talk. There were no fluffing it up. It was really, really like straight up. So times are changing and we're aware of how shit it actually was. So I'm going to leave the history stuff right there. I have done my best, probably butchered it a little bit, but I am really passionate about the subject. And when people ask me to come on shows to talk about the witch trials and stuff, I find myself being quite reluctant to, because it's so close to my soul and I am really angry about it on behalf of people who weren't witches, who got tarred with that brush that was really an ugly brush back then. It's not just we are the granddaughters of the witches you try to burn. I much prefer the other slogan, why are we taught to be scared of the witches instead of being taught to be scared of those that burnt them? So witchcraft today then, let's bring it back into the 21st century. That is my tagline anyway. I liked what Dr. Jennifer Farrell said in the Seed Talk on witchcraft and feminism. She stated something along the lines of, you got science and you got religion and you got magic. So the religion is a belief of a greater knowing that things can happen, but it's all within the hands of God above us, and they have the power to change your life, but you've got to ask for it and pray for it. And you are, as a human mortal on this earth, not capable of creating drastic change and direction, I think. And then the science, which is the belief that you have the power within you to change things via trial and error, experiments, recording and all that jazz. And then magic is kind of floating in the middle of those two things, because it is asking higher powers in the form of like deities and astral planets, cosmic movements, higher planes, ancestry and all that cool, amazing jazz. But also a knowing that it is within you as well. So it's kind of like a bridge between these two aspects of spiritual living and understanding of the world around us, which I just love, 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 love. So how do you feel about witchcraft? Like me, have you had people come up to you pointing at your pentacle or your pentagram and demanding to do a magic trick like your Paul Daniels on the spot and then accusing you of devil loving? Anybody witnessed that? Hands up at the back. Okay, I need to let that go now. Let's talk about it in a different way. Do you think in the wrong hands, it can be proper dodgy? Or is it just a hangover from the patriarchal capitalist history that give witchcraft a bad name, a negative stigma that we just cannot shift? As a practicing witch, I do believe people can do bad things dangerous things, scary things with witchcraft, because it always comes back to their intentions. Of course it does. It can be seen as a tool to enhance your life or cause harm, I guess. Kind of like a knife. I mean, you've got loads of knives to butter your toast in your drawer. They can be really useful tools that help you feed yourself and bake and cook and stuff. But then they can also be used like to go stab somebody. I mean, that's probably a bit of a clumsy-assed metaphor, but that's what I kept coming back to. In my mind, witchcraft, for me personally, is just so incredibly positive, especially like the Wiccan angle is all about eco-friendly, living sustainable, looking after the planet. But then there's the other argument, is being a Wiccan is a religion, really, whereas being a witch isn't. It's a practice. It's a way we live. It's not a religion. But then I'm governed by laws that prevent me doing things in my own traditions negative, because I believe it'll come back to me. And that's a karma thing in general. I mean, I guess if I'm honest, that means, yeah, then witchcraft must be dangerous if you're not willing to do certain things because you are aware of certain outcomes and you're cautious of them. Then there are some witches, pagans and witches, not Wiccans, just witches, that don't care about karma, that do chaos magic, don't really give a shit as long as the problem is solved. They'll freely send out a curse or a hex. That is just massive. And I couldn't live with myself doing anything like that, because I couldn't live with the guilt and the responsibility of it all. It's mad. It's the right kind of worms, I tell you. And I've been doing my own editing and I've been thinking about this episode all summer. But when I was researching, I came across this big issue write-up, and it was talking about, is witchcraft dangerous? But it took a really interesting twist in the write-up. It's titled The Problem with Witchcraft Today, which I hadn't at all thought of. And that was the way people charge for their services. Are they scammers, basically? This hit me in the heart so much. Like magic, it's all about your intent. So it was addressing the fact that there's a lot of scamming going on within the spiritualist mediumship area of witchy businesses, how they're getting people to pay them lots for stuff that probably isn't real. The write-up was suggesting that businesses claiming to be psychics, witch doctors saying, oh, there's an evil presence on you, give me all your money and I'll get rid of your hex, I'll get rid of the entity that's on you. Is it a con or is it legit? Do they feel like it's legit? Coming from this side of the businesses they're talking about, which is what I am, a legit witchy business, I was thinking, are they thinking about people who are cloning us and pretending to be us, or are they actually literally talking about us? I am hoping it's not us, that it's the pretend companies that clone us and send out these horrible messages asking for money direct. I'm still reeling about this happening to me quite a few years ago, where my accounts got cloned and they were using my kids in the pictures and messaging my followers going like, I'm a God-given psychic and I see your future, or something really lame. And some of my friends gave them money. Oh my God, I'm reeling, fuming. Unsolicited out of this, that pretending to be a witch. Say, would you like a reading? Are you going to pay me? I mean, we don't do that. And I hope, you know, we don't do that. We never just send you random messages. Obviously a big problem at the moment. People are doing it and duping people in legitimate businesses' names. It's well annoying. But there's actually the other bit of it as well, and it's very tricky, but I am going to talk about it because I'm feeling brave. I do get paid for my own magic. I do make sigils, custom sigils. I design them and I send people their custom sigil, but I've worked hard on it and I've designed it and I've sat with it and I've chanted with it and I've put it on an altar, burnt candles in a circle. It's a lot of work, and I wouldn't sell anybody anything if I didn't believe in it. So there's that hard question there, you know, like, because I believe in it, and Team Skeptic doesn't, does Team Skeptic see me as somebody who's ripping people off, you know, like a charlatan? How depressing is that thought? So yeah, I had to sit with that aspect of, is witchcraft dangerous financially, as in a witchcraft business in today's 21st century? And I wasn't ready for it, listener. I just wasn't ready. But it comes back to the whole intention again, good intentions versus negative, evil intentions. As a witch, I have an understanding about witchcraft. It's not about the devil, it's about doing good for people. I don't do magic to harm. I wouldn't do a hex. I wouldn't intentionally create a spell to hurt somebody for somebody else either. But some witches probably do and will keep doing that because that's how they do their magic. And that is nought to do with me. So I suppose the answer to the question, is witchcraft dangerous, is it can be. Yes, it can be. But probably not in the way the person Googling is thinking. Because in today's witchcraft and historical witchcraft, there wasn't any demonology, there wasn't any devil worshipping, there wasn't any talking to animals and changing into dogs and hares and having the devil suck from the teat. Even if at the time people absolutely believed that. It were all just rituals and old wives' tales and potions, herbal magic and remedies and midwifery. And a lot of that has followed through in today's witchcraft. I believe it works because of the intention. I give it power from my own elemental being. And some will argue that it is placebo effect. And maybe it is, but maybe that's just another word for spiritualism and manifesting. There's something happening, so therefore it's got to be real, right? Witchcraft today can be dangerous in a different respect that mirrors the 21st century, depending on the intent of the witch practicing that witchcraft. Sometimes it's financial danger, and other times it is intentional negativity sent out. And I can assure you there is no demons in this witchcraft causing havoc, at least not in the witchcraft I know of. The majority of witches today are actually really gorgeous people who care about humanity, the dismantling of capitalism, and keeping the earth healthy. Whew, I should go lie down now. You have been listening to the Bellwitch podcast, created with love and magic by me, Swales, the friendly green witch. I love to hear from you, and I absolutely love to celebrate you. If you have a podcast or a business, a witchy business, a pagan related topic you love to talk about, you can reach me on thebellwitchpodcast@yahoo.com. Send me a trailer and I will absolutely play it, because there is magic in sharing audiences amongst podcasts. Music by Jeff Harvey of Pixabay. The official Bell Witch photographer is the lovely Beverly Thornton. Thank you so much for choosing the Bell Witch podcast to fill your ears. Stay magical, witches.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.